I greet you all in the name of Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. 1 Corinthians 3:19. A lot of wise guys out there. And gals. The great reefs and shoals of this life are littered with many a ship of faith gone aground. The steady winds of truth still rattle their torn sails, but the rocks upon which they have sailed now hold them fast in the grip of the impossibility of returning to the open waters of the true freedom in Jesus Christ. Yeah, I wrote that. Should this be another call for repentance? I do not believe so. The matter of a good conscience toward one's faith, being overpowered by the spirit of self, is concluded for those marooned by their other desires rather than those of God, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. 1 Timothy 5:12. Yeah, it happens. I call for repentance of the body. We all should be repenting and being contrite constantly, because none is good but our Christ. Peter says it quite well in his second letter, chapter 2, verse 20-21. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. And is this what we want? Is this what a true saint of God attains to? Self? Are we watching? Are we praying? Are we being vigilant? Managing our steps? I hope so. Those who have wearied of the good fight of their faith in the unseen realms have opted for something more tangible to sink their rebellious minds into. They have opted to rationalize their spiritual experience, make peace with the material world, know the machinations of evil, and spread the gospel of knowledge of self. These who have wearied, all the while professing Jesus Christ, which to them legitimizes their foolish endeavors. There are a series of checks and balances in scriptures. You can look this one up too. One of Jesus' apostles said, "It's good that you believe. The devils believe and tremble." The belly. 1 Corinthians 6:13. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. What fornication, you ask? Fornication with the world. Your spiritual fornication, who you're serving, your idols, and such. Fornication is adultery. I remember James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. It doesn't mean that these guys were fooling around on the side. But James says, know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Who do you serve? What do you serve? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Yeah. Scary stuff. There is a pollution much more deadly than failed nuclear reactors and frankenfoods and chemtrails or corrects at 9500. That pollution happens to be self. Self. Pride. Plain, simple, all-deceiving self. Manipulated with the cunning, agility by the enemy of our souls. The knowledge of the unseen kingdom life is insufficient to sustain us in this chaotic maelstrom of absolute distress and turmoil, so we foolishly turn to what can be seen and felt and rationalized. We tell the seers, see not, and to the prophets, at least true prophets if there are any today, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. Get you out of the way. Turn aside out of the path. Cause the Holy One of Israel to cease from before us. Yeah, Isaiah 30, 10 and 11. I'll tell you what, for many, that worked. And we have failed our callings to rend our hearts, not our garments. We profess the might and mercy of God with our lips and wagging tongues, and our hearts are far from our God. And I still ask, why so much worldly fear? Where is the love for God? His peace? Where is the fear of God? What about humility? I tell you the truth, many who call themselves the few have left the path and filtered out of the wilderness and returned to the outskirts of the logic of Babylon, which has always been in their hearts anyway. Remember Lot's wife. The seed has fallen among thorns. Well, God's will be done, and we made the choices. I ask you, do God's true saints actually fear that which would destroy the body? Do God's saints fear Satan so much as to forsake the love which causes perfect peace? And I must bring some of you into remembrance here. We have yet to see anything greater than that which has befallen the world or the earth since Noah's day. Ain't happening yet. Getting worse, yeah. Well, how are you holding up? You know, we're waiting for the main event. We're not even in the door, spiritually. We got a little work to do. And I do not say that we are not on an upward swing toward the fulfillment of the ultimate consummation, but our flawed logic and sophomoric knowledge and feeble scriptural interpretations and gross acts of Christian-induced paranoia are contemptible, rebellious foolishness before God. Who's teaching you? Certainly not the Spirit of the living God. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. Romans 3:13. We have succumbed to fear-mongering do-gooders, and the sales pitches bent on pure profit from preserving God's saints. Might I remind us that the universal snake oil of self-preservation begins in the mind, and in letting our minds wander the rabbit trails of Christendom's retail bazaars, we have ignored the infilling of the Spirit given us at our rebirth, and now we believe a lie, many lies to be precise. We have capitulated to every cheap lie of our teachers regarding salvation, and the sundry worldly priorities which, by their reckoning, somehow must supersede or augment humility and holiness and contriteness, and an insatiable hunger for God and His kingdom. Do we have that? No, our worldly priorities come first. The giver of life and salvation follow behind, if at all. Christ didn't suffer so we can serve two masters. And when all the preps have been made and our fortresses against the criminal conspiracies to enslave us are complete, many of us will never live to enjoy the fruits of squirreling away all these worldly last-day necessities. Do I prophesy the future? Indeed, I do. But you don't need a spiritual, godly revelation, you know, lightning bolts, to see this. Just think. some who have been called out have exchanged the truth for a lie. It's so much easier to see and feel and hold truths in our hands than it is to believe that which is unseen, especially our faith, isn't it? Again, I say sadly that we have circumnavigated the way and the truth and run our ships upon the rocks. The church, as we universally call it, has become a wicked, perverse, debauched, and disease-ridden ship of fools. And most of us know that. Do we not know that the times we live in were ordained to test us in our faith? Why then must these times we live in create in us such a spirit of self-preservation and fear, such a need for every form of non-essential, extra-godly knowledge? Is faith too simple? Or is it too complicated that we run to what can be reasoned, what could be understood by our feeble carnal minds? Faith is a gift. Do the words of God Himself matter? They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. You know, the garment renders. Romans 1:20 tells us, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." You better dive into this little puppy, this line from Romans 1:20, and think about it. What are you seeing? What are you understanding? Good as well as evil is manifest in the creation we behold and navigate through. Why is it that we have come to strive to explain and compartmentalize and extol the creation and not give reverent praise and fear to its creator? We see as through a glass darkly, but our teachers seem to give us crystal clear representations of the lies of their hearts. Creation, which includes the governments of men and the satanic influences manifesting before us, has become our priority. It's easier than faith. It is our Creator that will sustain us, feed us, clothe us, and if it be His will, protect us. And yet we have arrogated this task to ourselves and the wolves. The task of blessing the nation has fallen to the Christian patriots, not God. These actually say, "To hell with God, and up with the revolution." The ditch is full of the blind and well-intentioned. The road to hell is soundly and always paved with good intentions in the name of God. And by the way, the fools preach that this physical nation must repent. These fools draw a comparison between the old physical nation of Israel and this modern-day America. Are you kidding? America was never called as Israel was. America is a composite of beliefs and non-beliefs and denominations and diverse religions, including Satanism. I mean, don't forget the love of mammon, which runs the whole show. What does the man on the street in this nation care about repentance or even where he himself came from? And the absolute total wolf babble I hear on the net and the radio regarding the spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth turns my tummy. Which gospel? Which doctrine? Pick one, s'il vous plaît. When any man or woman brings me doctrines of demons, a made-to-order salvation gospel, worldly knowledge of satanic influences which must be monitored and exposed and incessantly spoken of and books written about it, or juxtapose their fecal oratories regarding the preeminence of their apocalyptic relativity over Jesus Christ and Him crucified, I say as I always have, with an admitted modicum of contempt, with all due respect, let them be accursed. A new plague called universalism is upon us as well. Beware. One deceived fool who has quite a hefty ministry, this fool says that at the end of all things, all flesh, or spirits or souls, past and present, will be saved and reconciled to God. Well, that's kind of cool. Kind of sounded like Harold, you know. I mean, if you're no good, you're just going to be annihilated anyway, right? So, if you do good or you do bad, it's not going to matter because in the end, we're all going to be saved and reconciled to God. Well, if that's the case, let's just quit this narrow nonsense right now and just go out and have some fun. Sin unceasingly. Why, we'll be yucking it up with Satan himself in heaven after this ends. Uh-huh. Well, to tell you the truth, if I could damn these now, I so would. Universal reconciliation. My aardvark. The foolishness I was given to preach still roots out the lovers of themselves, the professors of Christ, the posers, the liars, the sinners of the camp, in need of repentance, and the backslidden compromisers in the body. His sheep know his voice, they hear his voice, and if not, the truth will condemn the fools who have willfully returned to the filth of their worldly wallows, where their wisdom is found in their bellies. So be it. What did this narrow way ministry accomplish? Except for getting its name hammered all over the place by infantile fools that posed as true brothers and sisters. I'll tell you what it accomplished. It accomplished that it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I didn't save anybody. I didn't save anybody. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. God used the preaching to save them that believe. 1 Corinthians 1:21. And God didn't say some or all. He said them. Okay? Think about it. And this servant has been blessed to have come to know a few of the few who stand firm in the only things they can actually rely upon. Yep, their God and their gift of faith. Do not love the world, or they which perish while wearing the heavy chains of their own conceits. Saints, if you haven't done much house cleaning lately, I suggest you check those corners again and light the whole house with the spirit that you have been given. We do not profess and babble on about a narrow way and yet give in to the fears and uncertainties of this world and this fast-fading, fragile life we have been thrust into down here. We could be thrust out of it just as quickly. We've become damnable hypocrites if our talk does not match our walk. Get your heads and hearts out of the world, repent of your compromise, and remain separated to your God as the royal priesthood you have been ordained to be a part of. If you don't want to, then get out. Walk away. Lukewarm ain't going to stand in the kingdom. Lukewarm means Jesus is going to vomit. Spew. That word also means puke. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. 1 Corinthians 1:25. Take that to heart. Are we a ship of fools, wrecked and held fast upon the rocks of the lusts and cares and fears of this world? Or are we single solitary saints aground on the single solitary rock upon which our houses of faith are built, even Jesus Christ? Even though our sovereign God knows which path you will take, you don't. It's still your choice. Make it a good one for the sake of your soul, and by all means keep to it. Lean not on your own carnal, weak understanding, Beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. Wherefore let him that thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Humble yourselves before your God. Have you the heart of David in Psalm 27:4? One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. David's got a heart for God, and he wasn't talking about living in the temple itself, because there wasn't a temple yet built. So what's he talking about? He's seeking the kingdom of God too, like Jesus told us to do. Seek it first. I mean, is that kind of too simplistic a task to undertake in this complicated world today? You answer that. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Psalm 34:9. I guess it's time to wrap this up and get rocking. You know, keep an eye on that market. Keep an eye on that gold and silver, too. Nothing wrong with having it, but don't go bowing down in front of it, folks. I strongly implore that you all hold fast to your faith in the simplicity of Jesus Christ and his doctrine. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads to life. Yeah, everybody repeat after me. And few there be that find it. You get your shields of faith up. You be vigilant, and do keep to the road. I remain a servant of Jesus Christ, and yours in his love. Amen.